perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Crews, we are the Geek Crews. Alright! We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Crews, we are the Geek Crews. Alright! We are the Geek Crews, we are the Geek Crews. Tonight!
Hey, welcome to episode 178 of Geek Grills. My name is Ray, and the Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons at www.patreon.com/grills. And I'm joined by my co-hosts, Ember. And Linda.
Hello.
And today we have a special guest, Barney.
Yes, Reverend Barney here.
Reverend Barney, I apologize. All right. So before we get started, what have you all been up to?
I've been working. our topic's the book club. We're doing book club.
We're doing book club. I forgot that. I'm sorry.
I've been working more on the dragon blanket. I get about two rows done, and then I'm like, this is real big. I'm going to go do something else now. I'll get it done in, like, 6 months. It'll be fine. It's a personal project, so I tend to, like, I'll work on it for a while, but I'm not, like, in a rush because it's just for me, so it's not a big,
It's not like pressure. A commission or something.
Yeah. And following the dragon theme, apparently, I've also started on a hood for myself that's got, like, dragon scales. So,
ooh.
It'll sit with the scales going back this way. And it's supposed to have, like, a little scale in the top, so it's just gonna, like, be all cool and almost like feathers. So, I found the pattern on Ravelry, and I was like, yes, bye. let's see. Last week was holiday shenanigans. I made a pumpkin pie trifle. It was delicious. But I had to make it. Well, I didn't have to, but I made all the elements from scratch, like, the day before, and then put it together and then let it sit together for a while. And it was fine, except that, like, I slightly burned the bottom of the cookies, and because I did big layers. Like, there was a layer of pumpkin cake, like, soaked in almond liqueur. Then there was a layer of cookies around the outside, sugar cookies, with a layer of custard over that. And then a layer of, what was next? Pie crust, like the graham cracker pie crust, and then the pumpkin pie filling, and then more pie crust, and then something else. There was a lot of layers. I did, like, almond slivers, and then, like, whipped cream on top. And so I was like, I baked the cake, which I did out of a box mix, because I wasn't going to do that from scratch, but I baked the cookies, I baked the cake, I made the pumpkin pie filling, and so I'm just like, but the cookies on the bottom were just ever so slightly overdone. I had to scrape those off, and then the custard didn't set right, so I had to pour it out from where it was just like a bowl of Jello and reboil it, because you can do that. You can make custard set harder by boiling it for longer. And then I was just like, and then, like, the cake pan that I wanted was dirty, so I couldn't cook. I made the cake batter, but then the pan was in the dishwasher. And I was just like,
I slammed
the cake, like, cake mix into the fridge because it had egg in it and I didn't want it to go bad. And I'm like stomping around the kitchen and scraping cookies. And my husband was like, are you okay? And I was like, it's fine.
This is fine.
Turned out fantastic. But yeah, I was having a time of it.
So redeemed, like last week's
redeemed
stories.
Yes, redeemed. It was very good. I played some Star Wars RPG, which was a lot of fun. I've done almost all of my holiday decorating. I've decorated inside. There's Christmas behind me. For people that are watching us live, I've got little lights and little Christmas plushies, trees up, all that good stuff. I wanted to decorate outside, but the day I decided to put up the outdoor decor was Sunday, which is my last day off, and it was raining. So I was like, yeah, no, I'm just going to check and make sure all these light strands work. Yeah, probably should toss this one. Need to get rid of these two. They're real old. I shouldn't have this one. It gets hot in like 3 seconds. So.
Good prep. Prevent house fires for Christmas.
Prep. Yes, good prep. I've also, because I had the last week off, like the whole week, I started rewatching one of my guilty pleasure shows, which is Shadowhunters. It ended in like... I think it ended 2018, 2019. I can't remember when it ended, but it's just like a monster romp, like angels, demons, werewolves, vampires kind of thing. It's not supernatural. Like, it's not that kind of quality, but it's fun. I think it was only like 4 seasons. I don't know. I'm in the middle of season 3. But anyway, so that's pretty much been me. I would talk to you about the gifts that I have gotten, but my mom listens to this show. So, hi, Mom. I'm not going to tell about your Christmas present.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I'll talk. Yeah. What I did, and then I'll kind of introduce Barney before you go, Ray, I guess, because I know him very well. So I've been painting a lot. Just painting. We had the date night painting. I showed that witch we did, and we did a landscape one. And then one day I was just like, I just felt like painting and set up and started painting something else. And Rob's like, well, I like this other one. So we actually did separate. We sat together on the couch, and I painted one thing, and he painted another. Like, I had earbuds in, so he could be listening to his tutorial, and I could be listening to mine. And, you know, we talked about doing the decorations for the mantle. I had gotten small canvases that I can change out seasonally. And I haven't hung them yet, because I need at least 2, maybe 3 more to fit all the way across, and I don't want to put up the strips to hang them until then. But I made this gnome.
So cute!
It's adorable.
And then Rob made a raccoon, and he gave it blue eyes. He's going a la Aquilo with the raccoons.
They just started their new season.
Yes. We're still way behind, but I just love that show so much. Like, I sold 3 chocolate pecan pies this week, and I wore my Aquilo apron, and it was like, hey, Amy, I got it all properly messed up with flour, finally. And we started something new where we were painting t-shirts, because we discovered you can do that. So I ordered this paint fabric medium, because they didn't have any locally, and we started doing that. I made a Bowie shirt. No way. And Rob made shirts, Christmas shirts, that he has a gig on Friday. He's playing guitar at the local brewery, and he made himself a Mando helmet with a Christmas hat, and he made me this baby Yoda and hold me a present.
That's so cute.
And it worked really well. It's like heat set. You can do it in the... I did mine with an iron, and then I washed it, and parts of mine faded out, but it's okay, because it's like the Aladdin Sane graphic Bowie thing, and it, for it to look aged is fine. It looks almost on purpose. So, yeah, we've been doing that, and I've had some jewelry commissions come in. One for a Christmas present for my girlfriend's mother. And then I almost started crying. The other night, I got a text from one of my son's best friend's mother. Just was like, hey, I know you make jewelry. and can you make a piece of jewelry for my kid with a butterfly and some kind of saying, like if a card go with it or whatever, about transformation. Her kid is transgender, and we had a really nice discussion about, like, she just wants to show her support for the transition, and I almost started crying, and we were talking about how great the gang of friends that they've been hanging out together for years and years, going to school, and we hear them online all the time, and they're like 16, 17-year-olds, and they have so seamlessly transitioned to her new name and her pronouns, and like it's just no big deal for them. They just, it's been so easy, and they've all been really supportive. So I'm designing a piece for that gift, and I'm like all honored and touched, and I mean it's a gift from her, so I'm gonna have to charge for it, but I'm trying to figure out colors. I've got my son like sneakily finding out their favorite colors, and I was thought about using the Pride, Trans Pride flag colors in it, but Mom doesn't want it to be like super obvious, you know, for reasons.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm excited about that design for that commission. What else? We went to the Zootastic light show. Like, I don't know if Linda ever got to a light show. We went to a light show at the zoo here. And I mean, I know it was a zoo, but I did not think it was just animals were wandering around. We're going through and trying to guess what some of the light show things are. Like, there's a blob in the tree. Is that a panda? I think it's a sloth. Like, it was so weird and funny. And then all of a sudden, like, traffic is stopping, and there's just deer and goats and antelope just wandering around through the light show, and you had to really pay attention. I was like, I thought we were going to get rammed for a minute. Like, a camel's walking up to the car, like, okay. So, yeah, what else? Soup experiment. I got a pumpkin, and I added it to my beer cheese Gouda soup, and that was good. And,
sounds,
yeah,
delicious.
Thanksgiving was delicious. No hospitalizations.
Good.
Despite the pie of doom. And I made the best dressing I think I've ever made in my life. I think it was just that I grew all the herbs this year. Kind of gave it an extra yum. So that's that. Now I want to explain why we have our guest today. Reverend Barney is my co-host on Heresy and Hearsay. So it's not just a shameless plug, but Barney is viewer and has been a patron of the show in the past of Geek Grills. He's been encouraging me ever since, as a friend of mine, ever since we started this show. And he was the one, when we were looking for ideas, that first suggested we do book club. And he suggested this book in particular, we're just getting around to. How long have we been doing book club episodes? I think 2 years.
Fair. To be fair, we've been rolling the die to see what book we're reading.
Right.
So it
yeah.
just so happened. It was the die rolling.
It finally. Yeah. So never, I wanted to have Barney on talking with us. You know, he suggested this book to me and to us a long time ago. So I wanted to see if, and I think it's interesting, given the context of the book, to have a male point of view in the discussion. So, Barney, what have you been up to this geeky week? And, of course, if you want to introduce yourself any further, go ahead, and then we'll catch up with Ray.
So, I'm Reverend Barney. I am the co-host of Heresy and Hearsay. So this week, so my geeky week, basically in the month of November, there's two things I do in November and December, and that is in November through December, I reread the Lord of the Rings books. So that's what I've been working on right now, is reading through them, because the week between Christmas and New Year's, I reread the Chronicles of Narnia, because they're really quick to read. They're like maybe 2 hours to read through each book a night. But I reread those during Christmas, the week of Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's. But I always I started this, I want to say after like my 50th or 60th watch of The Lord of the Rings, I finally sat down. It's like, you know what? I'm going to sit down and actually read the source material, because I never read the source material. And it just became a thing that I do now, that every November I reread The Lord of the Rings books. So that's what I've been doing, as I've been scoping out to purchase another box of Turkish Delight, which is a treat that I get myself every Christmas for the Chronicles of Narnia. And then I've been keeping up with political stuff, because that's what I do for fun. Is
dubious. No.
Fun in quotation marks.
I think you're addicted to triggering, but
I took a couple of weeks off after the elections. Like, I need some time away from the politics and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, that happens a lot. No, it's like maybe an hour out of that I've stayed away from Twitter and Facebook. Well, I don't do anything on Facebook with political stuff for the most part, but I do a lot of Twittering when it comes to political stuff, and reading articles and stuff like that. And I've got a subscription to the New York Times, so I'm reading that, and I'm going, why am I doing this again? I thought I was supposed to be taking time off from this, and it's like, and here I go again. And then I've got YouTube channels I watch about it. The other thing I've been doing is there's a YouTube channel from Loading, and they do this podcast where they talk about, they've been doing a podcast where they do a rewatch of the James Bond movies, because they were leading up to the new James Bond movie that was supposed to come out soon. But of course that's been pushed back because of the pandemic. So, but they've been going over each James Bond movie from the beginning until, you know, the latest one. And we've just gotten to the point where I stopped watching James Bond movie, which was the one with Halle Berry. I didn't see that one. I haven't seen any of the Daniel Craig movies. So we're at that point right now where everybody, this will be all new stuff. So it's been an interesting listen to those podcasts and going like, oh yeah, that's why those 60s. Those are kind of creepy now that I listen to those and think back about those. But so it's been an interesting thing about, you know, and going back and going, problematic favorites, you know, and I've been exploring that in my life about problematic favorites and things that you can enjoy, or can you enjoy certain things, especially with certain authors that we've, you know, I'm sure you've discussed, and how they've become problematic favorites or problematic, and you go, can you really enjoy their stuff now, or, you know, can you support them now? Versus, you know, and that whole discussion. So it's one of those things that, as a human being, it's one of those things that I've been discussing with myself, and I think it's an important discussion to have. So I've been enjoying it, but it's also been something that has been going through, and you know, you have to. It's like, I love Sailor Moon and I love the 90s Sailor Moon, but you look at that, and a lot of that is problematic in the, you know, when you look at it and some of the male gaze that is on that show, you go, especially the first two seasons, you go, oh, that's, so, you know,
the dieting episode all by itself. It's just...
Yeah, yeah. You just go,
hi, cat.
Yeah, I just go, yeah, so... But yeah, so that's what I've been kind of going through and kind of doing stuff and everything. So, Ray, I guess you're last but not least.
Nope. Yeah, so it's post-Thanksgiving, so I am full of delicious food. My husband got us a smoked turkey this year, and it was magnificent, like one of the best turkeys I've ever had. I made my first hot pie. I had to explain this to my husband because he's like, but you made me like a pomegranate pie before. I'm like, that's a cold pie. That doesn't count. That is me having a graham cracker crust, throwing stuff in and putting it in the fridge. There is no real work needed for it. So I made an apple pie for him because that's his absolute favorite. And it went mostly well, except I made way too much filling. So I ended up making a apple crumble, I don't, whatever one you use oatmeal with, so yeah. And it, or yeah, so I ended up using that for the use up the rest of the apples, and I forgot that when you make pie in the oven it's gonna leak, so like near the end of it I'm smelling smoke and I'm freaking out, and Scott's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing, it's all fine, everything's great, as I'm trying to figure out what happened. I'm like, oh fudge, and like sliding a pan underneath it.
You and I were basically saying the same things when we were making our desserts. Everything's fine,
it's fine, don't worry. It just came out.
I'm so glad I didn't have any of this. Half the town I live in lost power halfway through Thanksgiving, and I did not.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, the panic on the internet was real.
I would have cried. But, yeah, no, Thanksgiving was great, and I also got Linda made me this happy little guy here, a little Among Us, in green, because that's my color I always play. And then...
And Mark Weiss has joined us.
Yes, he won't go away. And art-wise, I don't know. I've finished up my commission, so I've just been kind of trying to work on stuff that I know I need to improve, which has led me to do a bunch of pin-up. Not like pin-up-y, like pin-up-y pose, but not really. It's cute. It's not. Yeah. Yeah. But it's still definitely... like that character is very much not a exhibitionist. So I'm like, no, this is about as pin-up-y as she's gonna get, is this cutesy little like pose thing. So that was fun. And I did a few more just to try and get foreshortening correct. We started, as far as what we've watched, we started the new Animaniacs, which is great. If you like the 90s one, you'll probably enjoy the new series. I like it. The songs aren't quite as good, but it's also the first season, so I'm not... It's fine.
What is that playing on?
That is on Hulu.
Okay. I don't have Hulu.
And then Adventure Time Distant Lands is on HBO Max, and we started watching that, and I think I talked more about that last episode. And because it's November, we rewatched V for Vendetta, because that's mandatory. And boy, that movie hits different now.
Right?
Just hits a bit different now.
I used to send that quote out every 5th of November, and now I go, you know, it's a little too ironic because it's a little too close to home.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just... very introspective about that. And then, especially because that came out, he first started publishing, I want to say 78, because it was a reaction to Thatcherism. But yeah. Also, in gaming terms, I finally turned off the war mode in WoW, which is much better, and I can actually level now because I left the war mode on, which flags you for PvP, and so every time we would get done with a cutscene or progress, people would ambush you to get their PvP points. And I'm just like, I don't care. don't care about this XP bonus. I don't. I'm done. I just want to play the game and get the story done. And then I also put on my Beat Saber VR set for the first time in forever, because post Thanksgiving, and you're like, I tried to wear pants in the first time in 3 months, and they don't work anymore. So we're gonna try and get back on that, so we can not have to buy pants, new pants.
You don't have to buy pants anyway. I hate it when my pants don't work.
That's true.
Title.
I'm just living in leggings, and it's great.
Viva leggings.
I say we all start working from home. I've been working from home since like April, and I'm like, if they start sending me back to the office, I'm like, I don't know if I can wear my pants again.
Yeah, it's real, man. But we should probably, on topic, we have The Secret History of Wonder Woman by Jill Lepore as our topic. And did anybody actually finish the book?
I've read it 3 times.
Excellent. Okay.
I did, but a really long time ago. Probably a year ago. And I and then I couldn't find my copy to refresh with. So I did rent the movie yesterday and watched it.
Yep. I read through half of it while getting my car engine replaced, and then put it down and kind of forgot about it. So I watched the movie, and then I, like, today literally, like, skimmed through the last part just to see what was different, what wasn't, and like, oh, okay, that's fine.
How about you, Linda?
Not finished.
I want to say I can understand that, and I feel like every time I pick, like, a book is from my list of ideas that comes in, even though I got this idea from Barney, I tend to do this, like, end up with things that are kind of heavy reading. Like, they did a really great job, I think, in the movie of shoving in most of the factual things, but you can't just stick on it. I mean, this book by Jill Lepore, she's some kind of researcher. It's a study of the history, and so not as easy a just personal read about their really interesting life. And I think they did a good job in the movie of making that very engaging by telling it from point of view. But it does have all kinds of really cool information. I'm certainly ecstatic that I read it and that I understand that history better now.
That was the thing that kind of bogged me down, is it reads like an academic book, and I wasn't expecting that. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is... Yeah, all right, I can do this.
She went through, like, boxes and boxes of letters and documents and all of this kind of stuff. So to find out all this history, and the thing is there's so much back history before we even get to Marston and his wives. Yeah. And oh, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry, ladies. I have forgotten your names. Oh my gosh.
Which one?
About Murder Sanger and stuff? Like Olive's?
Yeah.
Olive's mother?
Yeah, Olive's mother, as well as who is and Olive's mother's girlfriend or whatever. She was also very big into it, but she was also the one that basically founded Planned Parenthood, but she didn't like how and so she broke away from Planned Parenthood, and that's all kind of mixed in there as well, because she was a big advocate for birth control and women getting birth control, and that was illegal back in that time frame and everything. So all of that is woven into this story.
Yeah, Ethel Byrne is the Olive's mother.
Yeah, and then
For those of you, let's set that up for people that didn't read the book, because those are really interesting parts of the history. Professor Marston, William Moulton Marston, who wrote Wonder Woman, was also a psychologist and a professor of philosophy, and there's a lot of stuff that happened historically. He was very strong advocate in the women's movement, along with his wife, who was trying desperately to her degree from Harvard. They wouldn't give it to her just because she was a woman. And they ended up in a polyamorous relationship with a student of his, Olive, who turned out, they were like, oh my God, Ethel's your mother? Like, they knew her mother from the women's movement and their previous activism, and her aunt was Margaret Sanger. And then there's the weird irony of super feminist women, like, kind of shipping the kid off to a nunnery to be raised. But it is true that Ethel Byrne's husband was, like, refused to divorce her. He was a horrible, abusive drunk, was my understanding. And she had the movement to work on. It's kind of like there wasn't a way to take care of a kid and be independent from abusive husband. You couldn't divorce without permission. So she is kind of left and they dumped the kid off. And then the kid ends up in this very risque relationship with Professor Marston and his wife. So a lot of the plot of Wonder Woman, a lot of the character of Wonder Woman is based on Marston's wife and Olive, their partner. Marston and his wife, and then with the help of Olive and the experiments, developed the first lie detector machine. He never made a dime off it because he was like, science should be for everybody. He was like, interestingly upstanding for all the polyam kinky, like, I feel like, man, they portrayed kink and his experimentation of it and his interest in it was so related to his psychological disc theory that he taught in classes at Harvard. It's like, wait, so much better than 50 Shades. Like, it's about consent and understanding the difference between dominance and submission versus compliance. His psychological theory, once he found BDSM, it was just like, oh my God, like, this fits psychologically. It's also interesting, and then he uses those themes purposefully in Wonder Woman he would talk about classes, and I remember they showed this in the movie, but they did also talk about it in the book, where he was like, well, if men are so violent and aggressive, and women are by nature nurturing, why aren't we letting women run the world? That's fucked up, you know? And it's like, he really believed that. His idealism was huge. Their relationship was discovered, and they all got kicked out of the university. But before they even met Olive, and his wife was trying so hard to get Harvard to give her a diploma, and they wouldn't, he was part of splitting off from the philosophy department and creating a psychology department at Harvard and enrolling women in it.
Yep.
The other interesting thing is when you look at some of his belief system and how it goes into Wonder Woman, one of the things that I always loved about the original mythos of Wonder Woman, and I'm a huge Wonder Woman fan, growing up watching the cartoon, when I was growing up, every afternoon there was an episode of the Linda Carter Wonder Woman on my television when I got home from school. And though it was still grounded in the 70s, there was still a lot of feminism in that show. And a lot of feminist icons were for it. A lot of them were against it. But it was very strong feminist strength to it. But one of the things I really loved, and it was something that he talked about both in real life but also in the comics, was the bracelets that they wore. They were representations of the slavery that they were under before they broke free and went to Paradise Island, now Themyscira. And it was a reminder of being enslaved by men. And that's why they wore those bracelets. was as a reminder of being enslaved by men and that they would never be enslaved by men again. And that was her quote-unquote weakness, is if her arms were ever tied together or chained by those bracelets, she would lose her powers. So it was very interesting that he worked that into his mythology with her, and how that played out, that that was their strength and their weakness was a reminder of their abilities and of their freedom, but they had to cherish that freedom. And if they ever bound themselves to a man, they would lose their powers and their identity, basically.
Yeah, he did an awful lot of things in the early comics with her, you know, binding people and that whole lasso of truth situation and how truth needs to overcome everything. There's just so much imagery in there. I mean, he went pretty far with, like, I tried to show people that if you submit to women, things will be better. But sensationalize it like crazy, figuring, oh, comics, this medium that can get to everyone and can change the world with it. Like,
fascinating to see how much of his, like, academia is kind of reflected in the themes that he brought, you know, to his writing. 'Cause that's always the thing, right? Is if you get to know the author, you're like, oh, I can see where that experience that you had there has influenced this and influenced that. And it's very interesting.
Well, he spent a lot of time. He wrote some books, he wrote studies, he wrote papers, and then he was trying to get lots and lots of things published, and he never really had any serious academic success. He could not push this disc theory, although now it's in standard usage. I'm going to be looking into it, because my husband and I were talking about this after he kind of fell into watching the movie, because it was on. But his work had them all do a DISC assessment, and it is the same acronym. It's something they use in workplaces, and it is a personality trait test. So I'm very curious if that came from Marston's. It almost had to. There can't be multiple, like, things known as DISC theory, and if you Google DISC theory, you get Marston's work. But it's certainly a different view than at work they're presenting, whether you're, you know, submissive. They don't quite put it that way, but they have you take this personality test as, you know, team building and understanding how you work best with different kinds of people. But then it was like comics, he just had this idea, it's like, this is how I can get my ideas out there. And it worked.
Yeah, I did get to the point in the book where he talks about, in addition to, like, some of the freelancing he was doing was also, like, movies and, like, writing up some scripts and, like, really trying to push it that way initially, and then seeing the comic boom kind of inspired him from there. And, like, I think about the same time he was presenting his idea for, I think she was called Suprema, the yes. Wonder Woman initially, Captain America, like, hit the market, and he's like, oh, okay, well, obviously we need to incorporate this whole patriotism thing in as well.
Punch Nazis at some point.
Yeah. And the bracers were immediately a big success, because it's like, we don't want anything to do with guns. Batman had a gun at that time, and we've rewritten his story so he doesn't do guns anymore, which, yeah, As a Batman fan, and, like, I knew that before, but it always still surprises me to see the early Batmans where he's just shooting people. Because, you know, that's what you did. So she would use the bracers, and I just found that really interesting. He's like, oh, this is another way to shape culture through popular medium. And it's awesome. He specifically went in there to give women a superhero they could look up to. And also, in that same way, let men know, hey, you know, it's okay. There's a strong woman. That's fine.
Yeah, could have done the costuming a little different, but comics is what comics is. I mean, that's kind of an unfortunate missed opportunity, I think.
Yeah, because, like, the only other contemporary, like, pseudo-feminist icon at that time would have been, like, Betty Boop. Which, again, you have a very sexy figure and a little girl face. And it's really kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, I think Professor Marston would be disappointed to see how the art evolved with female heroes to where it is.
He would have been part of the Hawkeye initiative. I totally see him as one of those to be like, all right, I'm going to dress up as Hawkeye and show you how stupid this is.
Yep. I watch a ton of YouTube videos, so one of the ones I watched today was also talking about Star Trek and Seven of Nine and how that poor girl had an actual corset on underneath that skin-tight bodysuit. And I'm just like...
Oh. Can I tell you, on that, I am so excited about Discovery being finally different. Like, even TNG and stuff, they were still had to stay certain shapes and weights and stuff for their costumes, but they actually have different body types. Like, there's my favorite character is plus and redheaded and dorky, and like they're finally being more respectful of women in that way.
I will say they did make a move towards that. I think, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show or not, but because I've been watching Deep Space Nine with my husband, they have this uniform. It's called a scant, and it's what you see Uhura in the original. It's that really short miniskirt, basically miniskirt dress. And they have expanded the lore so that it's an actual uniform. It's called a scant, and everyone can wear them. So there are pictures of, like, on set of the men wearing these above the knee little short dresses, and it's fabulous.
I want that poster.
I've seen some of the, I think it was actually TNG where they had like a couple of the guys walking by, and some of the later episodes they were like engineering staff or something like that, and they were walking in red and black ones, and they were walking in those little short ones. So yeah, I do see that. What's interesting in Marston's going back, I'm sorry.
Where we're supposed to be.
Yeah,
as one of the supporting characters in the early Wonder Woman was Candy, and I can't remember her last name, but Candy was an overweight girl at the university, that the made up university that was supposed to be like a kind of Harvard-esque kind of place. But it was a women's college, and that's where Diana would go and have time with the women and stuff like that to promote things. And Candy was a big girl, and she loved her sweets and everything. That's how she got her name, Candy. But she was a big girl, and she was just as important to Wonder Woman as the skinny girls and everything, and just as prominent in the early Wonder Woman shows, or the early Wonder Woman episodes. And it was sad to see that transition away from, but they brought her back. And if you, again, going back to the 70s show, if you remember the woman that was in the, when they were doing the World War II, if you guys have seen it, in the World War II, the kind of overweight woman that was Diana's best friend, she was basically the substitute for Candy in the 70s TV show. And she was the overweight woman, and she was basically Candy in there, because they wanted to try to bring that back into the 70s show, showing different body types that could be on the show and stuff like that. She was a bit more of a comedy relief character than the original comic book, because Candy actually did some heroic things, showing that even, you know, these different sized women could do wonderful things. So it was, it was, you know, so he was very forward thinking in body size too.
So yeah, I think it was intentional, actually. I mean, like I said, I thought he'd be disappointed in the direction comics went with the way women are drawn and stuff, but he, I think he was very intentional with using what he, in what, the 40s, that's burlesque clothing, to wear something skimpy. But it was intentional, built in from his disc theory and his belief that women were better at the influence, which is the eye in disc. I encourage everyone to look up disc theory because it is really interesting. It's about dominance, influence, compliance, and submission, and how those interact in a human psyche to motivate people. And so I think to him, intentionally, her presenting sexually and claiming that power was part of how she would influence people toward the truth with her. Like, it was all so metaphorical. All that kitsch and all that bondage and sexualization was, like, constructed around purposeful psychological teaching. And who knew?
Well, like, now you knew.
I mean, comic. Now, yeah. Now people know. And I'm really glad Barney told me about this book because I didn't know. I mean, Wonder Woman's cool. I, you know, didn't read a whole lot of early comics. Well, I didn't get into comics until late in life. And I got into Sandman and all kinds of heavy stuff. I was never really into hero comics until fairly recently to understand any of how our first real female hero that succeeded in the genre was purposefully so feminist. And I love how they've kept that in the modern stuff. I mean, a lot of people hated the Wonder Woman movie. I fucking loved it. And the some of the best parts are that, like, well, you know, I mean, how do you, you know, what if you get, you know, urges or whatever. So I don't need men for that. Like, love that bit.
Again, I will reiterate, that was a really good movie until Act 3.
Oh, yeah. And then they not stick the ending.
Fumbled the ending, but good movie up until that point.
I'm still looking forward to 1984.
I am seriously looking forward to 84.
Yeah. What's really great is the guy, the villain in 1984 looks a lot like someone who is currently in the White House. I'm just saying, if you look at the hair and the style and the way he talks, and that he is a real estate magnate. Oh, I don't know. So
there are a lot of fiction things that are going obviously heavy on that stuff, and I love it. Like, Wonder Woman was doing it right, like, just flying in the face of tradition and political statements, and Captain America did it, and Star Trek has always done it. But you see bits of it in the new Star Trek, and in Mandalorian, and in, like, so much of our fantasy media is just thumbing a nose at current events. I think people don't appreciate that. They're like, oh, keep all that out of my fiction. Like, it's always been there. Just like comedy, yep, when the world is a terrible place. That is our space to vent, to act like, oh, no, that's not what I was talking about, and thumb our nose at authority.
Yeah, speculative fiction is definitely, and, you know, comic books especially, like, you know, when they do it right, it is where you can find the best commentary for real world events. You know, science fiction and everything else is the same way. if you look at, you know, some of the movies that have that's, you know, been through the test of time. You look at Blade Runner, for example, and it talks about, you know, basically the grinding of the working class. If you just step back for a second, if you look, you know, in all of those kind of movies, if you step back for a second and see what it represents and what it means and what we can be better of, you know, I think Wonder Woman is the prime example of, this is a feminist icon. She doesn't need a man to save her. She can still love someone, you know, because she loves Steve Rogers. And I don't believe in the New 52 where she was in love with Superman, because that was just stupid. That was just. I don't know who thought that was a good idea, but they needed to be booted out of comic books forever. But you know, that was just stupid. But you know, she loves Steve Rogers, who is just, you know. But she doesn't need Steve Rogers to save her. You know, she's not a damsel in distress. She is a woman who can take care of herself, but still be a woman. And I think that was what Marston wanted to make very clear, is that you can still be a woman, but still be powerful. That you could still be feminine and still be powerful. Because he had two very powerful women in his life. Three, because there was a third woman that went in and out of their lives. That was a third in their lives.
The border.
Yeah, the border that occasionally showed up, occasionally, you know, was like a third.
These days we call that a comet.
It's like on the census, that's what she would put, or they would put.
And a border, okay. But, you know.
But I think it wasn't even, his attitude was so... To me, it really seems, especially with all he went through and like his life work, like women are powerful and people need to fucking understand that. Like, he dedicated his life to, like, why can't other people see this? Like, I see this.
Yeah, there was a quote from him where he basically said, you know, the world will be a better place once women rule it. Once we get to that point, I look forward to that day, because once we get to that point, then the world will be a much better place. And I'm like, yeah, well, after, you know, 5,000 years, 10,000 years of men ruling it, I can see where he's at, you know, because yeah, look where we are right now. let's give it a shot here.
Y'all mostly don't realize how much we already actually do. We just don't get the credit.
Well, I did enjoy this a lot. I learned a lot more about Wonder Woman. My foray into comics, I kind of skipped her and went directly from, like, my dad's old comics, which was a lot of Superman and Madhouse Archie comics, to, like, one or two issues of Batman to Catwoman. And then it was just like Catwoman until there was Harley Quinn. And like, I picked up the only Wonder Woman book I actually have is the Kitieri. It's a graphic novel. It's a couple issues. The cover is infamous because Wonder Woman's boot is squishing Batman's head into the floor.
Have you read the Harley's Little Black Book with Wonder Woman?
I have not.
Oh.
But I'm going to add that to my list now.
It is so fantastic. There's a series in the Harley Quinn comics that's Little Black Book. And it's crossovers with her and different heroes. And Power Girl is in it. And the first one, I believe, was the Wonder Woman one. And just Harley gushing over how much she loves Wonder Woman and looks up to her, wants to be like her. And Woman like, having issues with Harley's methods. It's fucking wonderful. And they end up like being, she's like, that's my buddy.
I love Harley so much.
You do.
She's but have you found respect for Wonder Woman too?
Adorable, like, ball of chaos.
I know what I am.
Well, I recommend for folks, if you want to read this book, it is super interesting. If you're the kind of person that likes to read an academic unpacking of the history that
I don't think it's completely done. It does have pictures.
Yeah, it does have some pictures.
It is the history. Yes. So just
It's written like by a historian who put all the pieces together to try and explain how Marston's was influenced and his life influenced the comic. But the movie is, I think, well worth watching and very ingestible for just about everyone. I think they have really good representation of polyamory, which you don't see much, and really good representation of BDSM as an intellectual exercise that it is. It was quite an enjoyable movie. I think I'll watch it again. I only have 48 hours because I did end up renting it. I was like, I'm not going to buy it. I'll just rent it. But just like, oh shit, now I only have 2 days and I think I would like to watch it again in the future. So I might buy it one day. I liked it that much.
Very good.
Lots of famous people in it.
Yeah. I didn't realize that until
I started watching. Cast. I was like, holy shit, I know who that is and that is.
So you could also chime in regarding the book or any other book suggestions you might have by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at geekgrills. So, Grills, what are you most anticipating?
I can go first, sure.
Yes.
Making Christmas! If you're trying to crochet my way to Christmas gifts, or maybe burning. Lots of wood burning. Lots of burning.
Okay.
Burning wood with a stick. That's what wood burning is. And hopefully...
Or burning sticks of wood, but that's not a very good present.
Depends on what, you know, depends on if you make it pretty. Can you make it pretty? but... PSA, and I haven't actually done this, but always stain your wood after you burn. Do not stain before you burn. Otherwise, really terrible chemical smells. I promise I haven't done it. And then you're giving me a dubious look, Kelly. It's fine, Ray. Sorry, Ray. Then the other thing is on the 8th, which will be after the week that we have our production meeting, which is when we don't post, is we have our Work White Elephant, which the Work White Elephant is my favorite because we don't have to bring gifts. The gifts are provided. We just get to open them.
That's nice.
Yeah, open and then steal if we find something we really like.
Oh, so the Dirty Santa White Elephant.
Yeah, it's a White Elephant, yeah. Well, I've always called it a White Elephant, but yeah, so you open a gift. If the person that's after you likes your gift, they get to steal it, and then you get to open another one. But, you know, you only get to, the only gifts, we have a limit, because like 1 year it got out of control, apparently, so you can only steal a gift twice.
And then yeah.
The third time it's locked in. Because I don't know what was so appealing.
Sometimes there's just one good thing, and if you don't set that rule, that happens the whole time.
Yep.
But the Work White Elephant is how I got my entire, you know, Snapware Tupperware set. So.
There you go. That's some good gifts.
I know at least one thing is an Instant Pot, because they delivered it without it being, like, secret. So we just had an Instant Pot delivered downstairs, and I was like, oh, this is for the Work White Elephant. Okay.
Yeah, probably not for the break room. That would be weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does have an air fryer.
That's what I'm anticipating.
Okay. I anticipate also making more stuff. I don't crochet. I just can't pick up more stuff. But I will be making more art, and now I have this image in my head of a filthy Santa riding a white elephant that would be really funny to put on the mantle. But we'll see what we end up with to finish decorating in time. And I really need to come up with some more gift ideas to make people. Like, I've got some commissions, but I want to do more wood burning. But I kind of just did a bunch of those little boxes in a row for people for birthdays, and I don't know what I'm getting anybody right now. It's getting late and it sucks. Except the kids. I know one of them is going to have to open. The other one they just want money. And I'm trying to have some damn thing you can open. It's hard when they get older. And yeah, I need the inspiration. It'll come to me. I'll be sitting around thinking about somebody and go, oh, I can make them this. And then I'll be rushing the week before Christmas because that's how that happens. I want to binge a new YouTube show I found through, I was posting about something I made and somebody else said, oh, it sounds like this other recipe and whatever. But it's called Edible History. The YouTube channel, I believe, is called Tasty. And I watched this, and this host is adorable. She's funny and snarky and, like, cute.
Okay.
Did you mention it?
She's got the side cut, right?
Yeah. Blonde.
She used to do Drunk Kitchen.
Oh.
Ooh.
I'll have to look into that.
She is precious. She's must be protected.
She is delightful.
Wait, is that... Oh, what is her name? Because I used to follow her on Drunk Kitchen.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm trying to think, too.
Oh, what is her name? Because she just got recently married, and she did...
Hannah Hart.
Yes, Hannah Hart.
Yeah. That's her.
Oh, I like her so much. And the whole edible soup thing, like, 100-year-old pretzel recipe, and it was like a 300-year-old pumpkin pie recipe, and interview somebody about it, and then try to make it. And
the lasagna recipe is hilarious. It is so funny, like, when she's by at the end of it, she's like, what?
I watched the beginning of that one, because when I went looking for her on a different device after watching the pumpkin pie one, it was, that one came up first, and just her intro was like, it's so dense, and has it always caused heartburn immediately, and I was like, I love her. I love her. So I'm planning on binging that when I get some time. And the other thing I wanted to mention, while we're all here, I'm looking forward to, and it's going to be too late to get a present there in time, I think, but the Jen's birthday is December 5th. So everyone needs to contact the Jen, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the episode, but everybody go flood her with all the happy birthdays.
Excellent.
Give her some.
About you, nice. Barney, what are you looking forward to this coming week?
Well, we have a show tomorrow where we talk about politics. I'm sure you're looking forward to getting back into that in September after working all those hours in politics.
Heresy and Hearsay is my other show, folks, that I do with Reverend Barney. He wanted to reclaim his religion, being Christian, because it's so misused in current politics, and I'm a bit of a political wonk and know how to make a podcast, so that's what we do. And what are we talking about tomorrow, Barney?
We are going to be talking about the aftermath of the election, basically. Yeah, that's what
King
we're
Whiny
going
Baby.
We're going to be talking about all the fun shenanigans that's been going on since then. So I need to put up some notes and stuff. I haven't even done that yet. I need to do that. Going to be rereading the Lord of the Rings. I have a funny story about Hannah Hart. When I first saw her, just getting back to that for a second, first couple of episodes I saw her, it's like, oh, she is so cute and adorable. I have such the biggest crush on her. And it's like, and then she's like, I'm gay. And I'm like, of course you are. Like, of course you are. Oh, but you're still adorable, and I still love you, and you're so adorable. But anyways, no, I wanted to share that story because it's like it reminded me of the first time she did Drunk Kitchen. But no, we'll be doing the show tomorrow. We'll be 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on September's Twitch channel, and then we'll be rereading Lord of the Rings. I have no art ability, so I can't do anything like you ladies do. I have none whatsoever.
You write.
Okay, sure. I have no like visual art ability. Let me rephrase. Yeah, my stick figures even look bad. I'm just like, it's like I did a stick figure art one time, and it's like, wow, that's pretty sad. Doing that, you know, getting ready for going back to work because I've, you know, and everything. But other than that, that's pretty much it.
All right. And I've got Strahd this Wednesday. I'm very excited about D&D Strahd game. And then one of my coworkers has asked me to do some astrology signs, like to draw some out, but I think she maybe wants more figures. I'm not sure. She was super vague. She's like, oh, can you just draw me some astrology stuff for my channel? And I'm like, that's stuff. Vague, but I will try.
You want Capricorn? What do you want? Gemini? Oh,
yeah, because like immediately what popped in my head was like the teen magazines where they have your little one page astrology section. Sometimes they would have little graphics of like different girls with like the Libra would always be holding a scale or something like that. And I'm like, do you want that? Like, I'm not sure what you want, but I could try.
Symbols? Do you want constellations?
I can draw you a Big Dipper.
We'll figure this out. And then just trying to get back on that workout train for pants.
Nobody needs pants.
At some point, I will need to go outside and wear pants again. I know this.
We'll readopt the toga. It's fine.
I don't have enough dresses to get me through.
This is what leggings are for.
All right, so just a reminder. Wait, that's not me. I'm sorry. I'm jumping
that's okay.
all around.
Okay, remember, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Next Monday is our production meeting, so our next live show will be on December 14th at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern.
All right, and in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are also supported by our amazing patrons. You are the greatest girlfriends on the internet, and you can become a patron at www.patreon.com/girls. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
Another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking, which actually helps people find our podcast. Also, you can join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word.
All right. And where can we find everyone on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's M-I-S-C. And you can check out my website at www.madcapm.com. It's got lots of fluffy things that you can purchase.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that Totoro.
Gifty time's coming up.
And I can be reached at 9of12, that's N-I-N-E-O-F-1-2 on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on my Twitch channel tomorrow on the Heresy and Heresy podcast. The Jen can be reached at The Jen Says on Twitter. You can see her streaming at twitch.tv at The Jen Plays and find everything at thejensays.com because she owns it. So everybody go to thejensays.com and wish her all the happy birthdays for this coming, the 5th. And how about you, and, Barney? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SephirothII. That's SephirothII, or you can find the website for Heresy and Hearsay at heresyandhearsay.com. That's where you can find all our old shows and everything, or you can also find us on any podcast catcher, including Amazon Prime has podcasts now where you can get those for free, and we are not behind the paywall, so...
Excellent. And you can find me, Ray, on Instagram under DappleDame, all one word, and on Twitch as Ray Aino. R-E-I-A-I-N-O. All right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone, and good game.
Good game.
Good game. GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.